It's a real privilege to be able to be with you today to celebrate your church anniversary. I'm so sorry that I'm not able to be with you physically. I'm recording this sermon from my office in my loft on my iPad. It's been a privilege to visit the church in the past, but I know that you're also so sad that you're not able to gather together because of the restrictions, because of the coronavirus lockdown. I hope that even though you're not able to gather physically, today will be a day of real encouragement and thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done through the work of Emmanuel. Well, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning. So I'm going to read the passage and then pray. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before God, our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you inspired Paul by your Holy Spirit to write these words to encourage the Christians in Thessalonica nearly 2,000 years ago. Thank you that you are the unchanging, faithful God. We pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit today, so that we will be encouraged to serve Jesus faithfully in our day. And we ask this for his glory's sake. Amen. Well, start as you mean to go on is a good principle, and a good principle for church planting. When I was discussing ideas for the service with Spencer, I suggested preaching from 1 Thessalonians. And he told me that this is the book he preached right at the beginning of the life of the church, to lay foundations for the future. Well, if it's important to start as you mean to go on, it's just as important in the Christian life to go on as you started. And I think this is a really appropriate passage for your 15th anniversary. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to remind the Christians there how the church had started, so that they would be encouraged to go on in the same way. The church was started by faithful gospel preaching, and Paul wanted them to go on in the gospel. Paul wrote this letter after receiving an encouraging report from Timothy. The church at Thessalonica had been recently planted, but Paul had to leave because of persecution, and he was concerned as to whether the church would survive and stand firm. But Timothy brought him good news that the church had indeed stood firm. So much so that Paul could say the church at Thessalonica was a model church. Not meaning that it was a church that was better than others, more important than others, or more strategic than others, but simply that it was a faithful gospel church. It was what a church ought to be. It's what a normal church ought to be like. Well, Emmanuel Chipildam isn't as new as the church at Thessalonica was, but over the years, I've received many encouraging reports about how the Lord has been at work amongst you and used you, and had chance to see that for myself. I know that you are and that you want to be a faithful gospel church, to be a model church. And as we'll see, Paul wrote to this church to encourage it to press on and keep growing. And my prayer is that would be true for you as well. An anniversary is an opportunity to look back, but it's also an opportunity to look forwards and to recommit for what lies ahead. Well, I would suggest as we look at chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, there are five things that Paul has to say in these opening verses that will help you to go on as you started. The first of those is in verses 2 and 3, where we see that Paul thanks God for the church. Paul says that we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Verse 3. He says, we remember you before our God and Father. And this note of thanks to God for the church runs all the way through the letter. Paul thanks God for the church in chapter 2 and verse 13. He does it again in chapter 3 and verse 9. And the reason is because Paul knows that the church only exists because of the sovereignty and grace of God. The church is working hard and labouring and enduring, but Paul knows that's because God is at work in them. The church came to existence because people believed the gospel that he preached. Paul preached the message, and that led to the planting of the church. But he knows that that shows from verse 4 that they were loved and chosen by God. He knows from verse 5 that it was the Holy Spirit who brought deep conviction. Chapter 2, verse 13, he gives thanks to God that they received the gospel. The church has stood firm in the face of persecution, but in 3, verse 9, Paul knows that's because God has kept and protected them. It would be easy on an anniversary to be self-congratulatory. Emmanuel has grown and has worked hard. Over the years, people have been converted. The church has acquired and developed a building and sought to serve the local community. And the growth of the church has taken place against a background in which many churches in the country are declining rapidly. Well, we need to remember that all that success and growth is the work of God, and to give thanks to him. Giving thanks recognises our dependence on God and gives the glory to him. So go on as you started, remembering that the church is the work of God and giving thanks to him. Well, secondly, in verses 4 and 5, Paul reminds the church that they were founded on the faithful ministry of the gospel. See, he reminds the church of how they came into existence, the message that they heard and the ministry that they experienced. And he wants them to know that it was an authentic message and it was a faithful ministry, because that will bring them assurance that they truly are God's church. They really are his people, chosen by him in eternity and loved by him. Paul wants them to know that they were founded on the basis of the apostolic gospel message, the message that he describes in verse 5 as our gospel. Well, we know from the rest of the New Testament and from the book of Acts that the gospel Paul preached was a message about the crucified and the risen Lord Jesus. Paul doesn't spell out that gospel message in 1 Thessalonians, but we can glean something of the message he preached from what he says in verse 10 and verse 9. We can tell that Paul warned the Thessalonians when he came to them about the wrath to come, about the judgment of God on men and women because they've rejected God and haven't worshipped him as they ought to have done. Instead of worshipping the God who'd created them, they worshipped idols that they had made. Well, Paul came to warn them and to urge them to repent, to turn away from that idolatry, and instead to turn and trust and serve the true and living God. He would have told them that forgiveness for their sin, for their false worship, was available through Jesus, God's Son, who had come and had died in our place, on the cross, bearing the judgment that we deserve so that we can be rescued from it. Paul will have taught them about the miracles that Jesus performed, and that Jesus has been risen from the dead so that he is the Lord who reigns. And the Thessalonians heard this message and they believed it, and they trusted in Jesus, and they were forgiven by God, and they became part of his family. Now that gospel message that Paul preached 2,000 years ago is the same message that gives people the good news that they can be forgiven today. Maybe you're sort of listening into this service and you're not yet a Christian. Maybe you come regularly to Emmanuel Church, or maybe you're just listening in on the internet. Well, Paul's message to you would be the same message that he preached to the Thessalonians, that we stand in danger of God's judgment, which will come because we haven't worshipped him and lived for him as we ought to have done. But the great news is that forgiveness is available. And all we have to do is turn and trust in Jesus, confess our sins and ask him for forgiveness, and God will forgive us. And we'll be able to be sure and confident that we will be rescued from that judgment when it comes. So if you haven't yet trusted in Christ, if you've not yet really become part of his church, can I urge you to turn to Jesus, to turn from idolatry and whatever else it is that you're living for, and live for Jesus, because he is the risen Lord. Well, these Thessalonian Christians had responded to that gospel message, and Paul wanted them to know that they were truly loved and chosen by God, because that message had come to them with power, the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. That probably refers to the miracles that Paul performed, to the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believed, and to the personal conviction they felt that the message was true. Those three things authenticated the message. In verse 5, Paul described it as our gospel, but in chapter 2 and verse 8, he describes the message as the gospel of God. It's the message that came from God that God revealed to Paul that he was passing on. Well, Paul wants them to have assurance, not just because of the message, but also because of the way that he ministered. Verse 5, he tells them, you know how we lived amongst you for your sake. In chapter 2, he spells out how he loved and he served them, how when he came amongst them, he didn't exploit them. He says he was like a mother caring for her infant. He was like a father exhorting his children. He says he didn't use flattery or deceit to trick them into believing. He wasn't greedy, asking for money, but instead he worked to support himself, so he wasn't a burden. And the way that he ministered authenticated the message that he preached. Well, in the same way, Emmanuel has been founded on faithful gospel preaching by faithful gospel ministers. And that should bring you great assurance. But you need to make sure that you never move on from the gospel and never move on to a different kind of ministry. That's a temptation to churches, that having started well, they want something different or they look for something novel. No, they need the same ministry that they have always had, a gospel ministry from faithful gospel ministers who love and serve them. So go on as you started. Go on with the gospel and with faithful gospel ministry. Well, thirdly, in verses 6 to 7, Paul commends the church for their joy in suffering. This was a church that had not just believed the gospel, but as Paul says, this was a church that had welcomed the gospel despite severe suffering. We know from the book of Acts that when Paul brought the gospel to Thessalonica, he was persecuted by the Jews and forced to leave town very quickly. He left behind this small church of converted pagans, and they then faced persecution by their own people. Chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says, you suffered from your own people the same things those churches had suffered from the Jews. What did they suffer just for becoming Christians? Well, it's because they were seen as being traitors to their religion and to their culture and to their city. See, as we read in verse 10, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And so they were seen as dangerous subversives who threatened the unity and the peace of their city. Perhaps people thought that because they were no longer worshipping of the pagan gods, then those gods would no longer bless and protect the city. But as the report that's come from Timothy has shown, they weren't unsettled by these persecutions. In fact, they stood firm in them. As verse 2 said, they've got endurance because of their hope in Jesus. But it's not simply that they clung on by the skin of their teeth. Paul says they had joy in the midst of these sufferings. Joy, verse 6, that was given them by the Holy Spirit. You see, they knew that suffering was normal in the Christian life, that they were following in the footsteps of Paul and of Jesus himself. They were imitating him. Perhaps they remembered what Jesus had taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that you're blessed when you're persecuted and insulted for his sake. Perhaps they remembered the example of the apostles in the book of Acts, who rejoiced when they were flogged because they'd been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. One of the most extraordinary things about Christians is their ability to be able to rejoice even in the face of suffering. Well, at Emmanuel here in the UK, you don't experience the threat of physical violence at this time. But we do as Christians find ourselves an increasingly marginalised minority in our society. And for some, we're viewed as dangerous subversives, intolerant and bigoted because we want to live by a biblical teaching. Over the past 15 years, the pressure on us has increased. As, for example, same-sex marriage has been introduced. LGBT rights have been promoted. Transgenderism has been introduced. Some of the rights and freedoms we've taken for granted have been diminished. But you've stood firm despite the pressure, despite the criticism and despite the difficulties. And even as you suffer, keep your joy that is given by the Holy Spirit. You're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Nothing has gone wrong. So go on as you started. Go on being willing to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Well, fourthly, in verse 8, Paul recognises the wide evangelistic impact that this church has had. Paul rejoices that the church has been established and has stood firm in the face of persecution. But it's not a church that has been inward looking. Even in the short time that it's existed, this church has had a big impact on the region where it's located and even more widely than that. Paul says that they have been a model church. They've been a model in the way that they've stood firm and had joy, even in the face of persecution. And verse 8, Paul says that the Lord's message, that's the gospel message, has rung out from them. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but even further than that. This is a church that's been active in evangelism and mission. The message that rang out from them was not a message about themselves, but it was the very same message that they'd heard and accepted. It's the Lord's message, the gospel message, the message about Jesus. They were telling others about him. Well, over the last 15 years, Emmanuel has had a wide impact for the gospel. Through you, the message of the Lord has rung out in Chippenham, your growing community. You've supported other churches in the area. You've trained leaders and pastors who are now serving in churches around the country. You've been key members of the Southwest Gospel Partnership, promoting gospel ministry and training and unity in the area. And you've helped to advance the gospel in the nation by supporting the work and ministry of the FIEC. I'm incredibly grateful to you for allowing Spencer to give so much time to serving the FIEC on the council and the trust board over so many years, helping us to develop our vision to be independent churches working together to reach Britain for Christ. Well, this is something that you've done from a very early stage. It was always part of your vision. So go on as you started. Don't become inward looking. Continue to have that wide gospel vision so that the Lord's message will ring out from you in Chippenham, in the region, in the nation, and more widely than that as you support missionaries around the world. Well, lastly, in verses 9 and 10, Paul challenges them to keep living in the light of the Lord's return. The church has trusted the gospel, it's stood firm against suffering, the Lord's message has rung out from them, but they're still living in a hostile world. Paul says that they are waiting for a God's son to come from heaven. They're waiting to be rescued from the wrath to come. As we've seen, there's a day of judgment coming when all sin and idolatry will be judged, but only then will they enter into God's kingdom. They're not enjoying the fullness of salvation yet, but they are looking forward to the day when they will. They're waiting for it. Well, this idea of waiting might seem passive. I don't know about you, but I often find waiting difficult and frustrating. It feels the very opposite of action. But when Paul speaks about waiting here, he's not speaking about something passive and inactive. The way that we wait for the return of the Lord is by serving him and growing. Do you see what Paul says in verse 9? They've turned from idols to serve the true and living God. Literally, it says that they've turned to slave for the living God, to work for him. So verse 2, this church that is waiting is also a church that's working, a church that is labouring. And verse 10 is really the bridge into the rest of the letter. And Paul's message to them is a message of encouragement to them to keep serving and growing while they wait for the return of the Lord Jesus. They've made a good start, but he wants them to go on as they've started. And so in the second half of the letter, he urges them to do what they're already doing, only to do it more and more. And three things are especially important in the rest of the letter. Three things that Paul wants them to do more and more. Firstly, he wants them to love each other more and more. Secondly, he wants them to be sanctified and to avoid sexual immorality. They live in a culture with very different values from the Bible's teaching that sex is only appropriate for heterosexual marriage. And he wants them to be faithful to what God says and to live to please him. And then thirdly, he wants them to work hard to be able to provide for themselves so that they're not dependent on others, and also to be able to give generously to support those in the church family who are in need. The turning point of the letter is very much chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, where having given thanks to Paul, thanks to God for them, Paul then prays for them. And his prayer reveals his priorities for them. This is what he prays. He prays, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen you, your hearts, so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." Can you see that waiting means serving and growing? Waiting means taking the opportunity to increase and overflow in love. It means being blameless and holy in life. Well, we as Christians today face the same challenges that the Thessalonians face. We need to be those who have an increasing and overflowing love for one another within the church. We need to resist sexual temptation in a world with totally different values. We need to be prepared to work hard so that we can provide for ourselves and give generously to care for others. We go on as we started, serving and growing as we wait for the return of the Lord. Well, this anniversary is a great day to look back on all that God has done. It's also a great day to look forwards. It's a great day to commit to go on as you started. It's a day to commit to go on thanking God for all that he has done. It's a day to commit to go on holding firm to the gospel that you accepted. It's a day to commit to go on remaining joyful through suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus. It's a day to commit to go on having a wide vision for the work of the gospel. It's a day to go on by committing to wait for Jesus, by serving and growing. Well, we're going to close by praying Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians in chapter 3, verses 11 and 13 for ourselves. So let's pray. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.